friends, it's us. I'm Steph Beagle.
And I'm Lauren Abney.
And this is Well Behaved. We believe balance is a bit overplayed and way overrated. We've embraced finding our perfect blend of wellness with a twist of tequila.
This podcast delivers wellness remixed from face-slapping facials to the ABCs of CBD. Living your best life and finding what's right for you is what it's all about. Let's do this.
Today, our bud, our new friend, Michael Chernow, is on the pod. And what's cool is I feel like we always have some pretty badass babes. But when we bring a dude on, we bring a good dude on the pod.
We love dudes.
We had Kevin Bame. We had Evan Shy. Most of these guys are babes. And Chernow is
no exception
in the babe category. He is just a mecca of restaurant and wellness. He really embodies New York. I think, you know, he owns the meatball shop, Seymour's. He's the founder of this company, Well, which is a wellness beverage. Everyone, I think, is just going to get amazing vibes from him. And he is fucking driven. You just know that he has a goal. He goes after it, whatever it is, family, fitness, fortune, success. Supremely impressed by this guy. What did you think? What did you like most about our friend?
I mean, his energy was outrageous in like a totally great way. And it's also, I mean, I think that we're very likable, but I felt like this like really awesome synergy. And I was like, we're gonna be besties. We're excited because we're gonna be on his podcast coming up. Stay tuned. But my favorite thing that just like resonated personally is he talked a lot about like not being great at everything and surrounding yourself with people in business that help compliment you, empower you, or sometimes better than you. And we talked a lot about finding your magic. Like, what is it about you that makes you great? And so many people focus on the things about them that aren't great that they try to better. But what if you spend and invest more time in the things that you're good at and you just enhance your magic? Like, fuck yeah.
You're amazing at that.
Oh my God, I love you. I was just trying to like lobby a compliment in there.
Well, we've done that with our own partnership.
For sure.
We know that we both have different strengths and we lean on each other, but we also know what each other's are. So it's not, you don't feel like you're lacking one because your partner makes it up.
100%. Hundo P, babe.
Thanks.
Love ya.
Let's get into it because this is just fun. You guys are going to love it.
Fun.
Have fun with our new friend, Michael Chernow, and let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Okay, well-behaved fam, we have a pretty extraordinary guest today. We have Michael Chernow, who's joining us from New York. He is the modern-day Renaissance man, which I think I found on your site or on a bio. I'm super into it because there's nothing more appropriate. He's the founder of the Meatball Shop, which we all know and love. He is the co-founder of Seymour's Sustainable Seafood Restaurant. He is a co-founder of Well, a wellness brand, and he now has a podcast called Born or Made, where he asks badass people, experts, thought leaders, are you born with the skills that made you who you are, or were you made along the way? Which is, I can't wait to hear the data. So first of all, let's welcome him in. Thank you, Michael, for being with us today. We're pretty damn pumped.
I am equally as pumped, potentially even more pumped than you. I'm like
think
pumped
so.
Plus.
Pumped
I'm pumped
plus.
Plus
he's doing
right
push-ups
now.
Right now.
Yeah, totally.
I am. So yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for the kind intro. You know, when I was thinking about like what defines me, the truth is that I'm interested in so many different things. I'm not like a one trick pony, you know, like I'm a business guy, but I'm also a creative and a fitness guy and a lifestyle person. And I like motorcycles and car. I mean, like I like fishing is a big deal for me.
Fishing.
So like, you know, I own a seafood restaurant. So, I love fishing. And so, yeah, like when I was thinking about like what defines me and I was talking to other people about it, I kept on hearing like modern day Renaissance man. And I was like, let's go. Let's go.
It's
I'm in.
Perfect.
I like it. I'm down. Like, that's it. Let's go. So, yeah. So that's me in a nutshell.
We want to have a little bit of foundation because you have 10,000 hobbies, businesses and interests. So let's just dive into wellness since it is the precipice of this well-behaved podcast. But what does wellness mean to you? And I can imagine that you have a pretty unique definition.
No pressure.
Wellness saved my life, hands down, without a question of a doubt. I grew up in New York City. I started, you know, walking down a dark road at a very early age, and I partied my ass off. And it started out with like partying, and then it just became like misery and just depression, and like could not stop drinking and doing drugs, right? So I did that from like 13 to 23. And then somehow, some way, I was able to snap out of it at 23 years old, got my shit together. And what I really sunk my teeth into and sort of like every cell in my body into was the world of fitness and wellness. And I literally did an about face on the life that I lived for 10 years as an animal, and became an animal in a much better way. And that is literally, I sort of have a philosophy that the things I put into my body and the way I move my body define me. And today I like to think of myself as like a super positive, healthy, better being guy. I take the wellness, the world of wellness, very seriously, although I have a very good time with it. You know, I'm not like one of these crazy, like I'm strict with my regimen and I'm strict with my nutrition. But I really, I don't sacrifice flavor. I don't sacrifice, like I'm not going to eat like kale and celery and, you know, quarters of avocado every day.
I'm thinking in my head, that's all the things that Lauren loves. And I tell her all the time, I'm like, kale tastes like the forest.
No,
like,
I love green.
Why
things.
Do I have to eat?
By
kale?
The way, I love it. And actually kale is part of my daily, you know, nutritional intake for sure. And so is avocado. And for a while there, I was doing the celery juice thing just to give it a shot. I like live my life by the 80-20, unless I'm training for a bodybuilding competition where it's just, you know, 95-5, because that's like, I'm an extreme person. So I'll go the majority of the year, you know, 8 months out of the year, 80% of the things that I put into my body are tracked and regimented and strict, but still delicious. And then 20%, I'm like eating burgers and ribeye tomahawk steaks.
We're with you. That speaks our language. So,
It's a really big part of my life. I feel like, we have an opportunity every single day to be the best person we can be. And the stuff that you put into your body gives you that sort of confidence. If you eat like a pig, chances are you're going to feel piggy.
Yeah, you and might need like a fake pig good. Heart at some point to be a totally, part of your body.
Totally. I'm so glad that we went there.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, because I think something that's so meaningful is that wellness saved your life. And that's the easiest 100%. Way to think about it. And people oftentimes may look at it as a luxury or a sacrifice, but it is an element, is crucial for life. So thank you for sharing that. We're into the podcast. You've had some pretty awesome guests so far, but we want you to be the guest in this scenario. And so we need you to tell us from the get-go, were you born or were you made?
100% born. Not even a thought.
No
100%.
Combo.
Wow.
No,
tell us more.
No combo. But like when somebody says combo,
it's cheating.
If you're
I
born,
felt like
you're
most
born.
People you know said I mean? Combo. Like, yeah. So yeah. I love that you have a definitive answer. And you probably did if that was the name of your podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of knew going into it that I can't tell you why at, 6 years old, all I wanted to do was sell my toys. Like, I can't tell you that. Like, I don't know why. I can't tell you why at 9 and 10 years old, I made flyers, dog walking flyers, and posted them every single lamppost in every single laundry room in every single building within a, 4-block radius of my house. Like, I can't tell you why I constantly want to make people happy. I go out of my way and bend over backwards and sacrifice myself to make other people happy. I can't tell you why that is, but I do know that it is just part of who I am. And so if I told you that I was made over time, I'd be lying, because I inherently / intuitively have always thought entrepreneurially, and people have always been my motivation. So I just know for me that I was born with like a communication skill set that worked. Yeah, so I'm born.
Okay, born. Sure. I love it. So we've listened to a few of the episodes, and obviously we teased out that most people are saying combo, but from the metadata, our guests thus far that you're sitting down with, are most of them saying born, mate, or combo?
Most of them saying a combo. And then I would honestly say that the people that are not saying combo are 50-50 split, born or made.
So
it like, and by the way, I don't think that it is, you know, it is, it's the nature nurture question. I just reframed it born or made.
For sure.
I don't know. I think that like potentially through studies, nurture has been proven to be the more effective or the actual answer to this question. That said, I still think it's kind of vague. You know, I think that I went to art high school, right? I went to LaGuardia High School. I went to the Fame School, and I grew up with artists. And if I tried to take a paintbrush and paint something, I'm not a fine artist. Like I don't think anybody, maybe I'd be able, like people could teach me how to get to a certain place, but like my friend Khan Trupkovich, who is an incredible fine artist, was painting at the level that I could potentially get to at my age when he was like 3. So, I don't know if nurture had anything to do with that. His father happens to also be an incredible artist, vocalists, like athletes, right? Like, I just think that there are certain people that are born with an ability. And my opinion on the whole thing, and I'm happy to divulge here, is I think everybody is born with something. And the journey in life is finding what that is, right? And some people, the majority of people probably don't find it, unfortunately, because they're not looking hard enough or in the right place. And I think it has a lot to do with like our environments and whether our parents are pushing us to go in a different direction or not pushing us at all,
for sure.
Or have been bad examples. But, I think everybody's born with a certain talent and skill set. And I think, the journey that we all sort of walk through on a daily basis, in my opinion, is trying to get closer and closer to what that is.
Do you feel as if, I think it's interesting just if people are self-aware enough to know if, you know, it was something intrinsically in them, right? Like not everyone, yes, like I sold a shit ton of lemonade when I was a child, right? But like, I wasn't selling all my toys. I wasn't doing some of these things that I think would like be a characteristic of the entrepreneurial spirit. But as I've gotten older, I've like recognized that grit and that grind and some of the things inside of me that I know help drive me on a daily basis, right? Like, are there character traits that you've seen in the people that you've sat down with or spoken to outside of like, I wanted to sell my toys when I was 3, right? Like, what are some of those things that you noticed?
So I think that not only from from my podcast and I mean, I've interviewed some like awesome people that have done a lot of great things in the world of specifically entrepreneurialism and business, but I think that there's a couple of different levels, right? Or a couple of different like archetypes for entrepreneurs. I happen to be a down and dirty hustler. Mm-hmm. Like that's just been is just who I am.
Balls
to the walls, just like making shit happen, trying to make lemon out of lemonade, lemonade out of lemons constantly, always trying to make something, not like, like using all of my resources to try to get what I want, and make something awesome. So like, even though I've opened up 16 restaurants and I have my hands in a number of different businesses, like I still feel like a hustler, like a kid running around trying to make it all happen. Mm-hmm. Not like this like guy who's going to show up and has like the fancy office and the conference table with the the thing in the middle where people can talk, you know, like that's not me.
Yeah, that thing in the middle, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The robot thing.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that's just like gonna walk in and give you a high five and let you know how awesome you are and can and like genuinely convince you to walk with me. And that's how I get it done. So like I'm really an emotionally intelligent person. And that's sort of my magic. Someone like Strauss Zelnick, who is like a pillar in business, like entrepreneur to the, you know, like billionaire status. He is totally different. He is going to put together incredible business models and structures and processes and systems and, you know, like presidential style. That's like, there's also that kind of entrepreneur. And so I don't think that there is a cut and dry sort of thing there. But I do believe that, you know, either there's some people that just have it and some people that don't. Like I knew as soon as I saw you two, literally, as soon as I saw you two, I like something went off in my head and I said, we're going to have the best fucking time here. And I just knew that. And so I'm like, and that's how I'm able to read a room. Right? Like I could walk in and I could be like, boom, boom, boom. Check, you know, this is how I'm going to talk to this person. This is what I'm going to say to this person. This is like, I'm just going to like sit back and listen in this one. And I think that that is something that is inherent. I think that I was born with that. You know what I mean?
I think it's, I call it everyone's magic, right? Like it's a choice whether you want to lean into figuring out what your magic is or not, right? Like I think that takes work. It's interesting because not everyone's willing to put the time in to figure out what it is that makes them special, right? Like I have so many friends that I could easily tell them what I think is, you know, their value driver or whatever it is. Like you said, emotional intelligence. Like I'm like you, I am a people person. Like I'm an introverted extrovert, but the energy that I get from like making people happy and connecting, there is like nothing that makes me feel better. Right.
Right.
But that took me years to figure out that that was actually a tool that I could use in my sales job or in building a business. Like I may not be the smartest mathematician, but I love people. I know people and I get people and that's going to get me somewhere. Right. So enough about me, but I really do think there's something so powerful in taking a moment, whether or not you feel like you were born or made, like sitting down and saying like, what about me makes me special? And how do I use that?
So it's interesting that you say that because we're all, if you know, if you're raised in the United States of America, we all go to school and the value that's put on our success there is based on whether or not you have a good memory, right? It's all about memory. It's all about like, can you read something and remember it? And then I'm going to test you on your memory. I'm not going to test you on like your ability to fucking—
zero shits about it.
Right. Like give zero.
Like, I have never done— I could honestly say that the only thing I learned in school, quite frankly, was how to talk to people. Like that was the only thing. I've never used trig or, you know, I wasn't even smart enough to get put in the algebra class, but like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I think I was asleep through most of it. That's the straight up truth. And so like but that is, it's so fucked up because that is how we are valuing our worth. And it's really discouraging. And it was discouraging for me when I first opened up my first business, the meatball shop. I was 28 years old. I had been working in restaurants for, you know, since I was 13. So my skill set really was about making people stoked and happy and really like paying attention to like culture and style and like figuring out how to develop a brand. Like that's what I learned, right? But my business partner was a chef and really good at numbers, but just like, I love him to death. He's actually my best friend. But you know, he struggles with people. Like he cannot get people to want to follow him in a way that I can get people to want to follow me. But because I hadn't been a real business person yet, I felt so shitty about myself because when he was just like plowing through the numbers and the P&Ls and, you know, the budget, And he'd be like, come on, man. You know, and I'd be like, dude, I don't like it. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm not good at it. I don't want to pretend, you know, like, I don't want to pretend here. I like, you're better off doing it. It's a waste of my time because it's going to take me four times longer to do the shit than it's going to take you because you like it and you're good at it. So let me fucking get the people in the room excited and you can make sure the doors stay open. How about that, you know? And that's when I learned that you don't, like, smart doesn't mean you know how to fucking make a, you know, how to, you're not a whiz on Excel. Like, that doesn't mean that is a smart, that is a type of smart, but there are a lot of different types of smart. And just because you're not a whiz on Excel or you're not the greatest writer in the world or you don't read a book a week, like, you know, everybody says they do, although they are all fucking listening.
Stop liars. We know you're lying.
Yeah. Like it's smart can mean many, many different things. So anybody who's listening, who's sort of like, I wish I was better at this. Like, there's nothing wrong with wishing you were better at something. And by the way, like, if you really want to be better at it, then take the time to learn it, but don't put all your eggs in that basket. You know, like, surround yourself with people that are better than you in those areas and even better than you in general, so you can potentially continue to learn. But don't waste your time doing something that you're not, like, naturally drawn to, because the shit that you're naturally drawn to, you're obviously going to excel at. Put all your fucking eggs in that basket.
Right.
You know,
like, foster the shit out of being better at that. If you were born with that already,
and believe, like, it.
People have been breaking my balls for years. I started on this wellness journey, you know, in 2004. That's when I got sober. And that is when I completely turned my life around and started eating really well and exercising like a maniac. And for years, all my friends, my family, everybody who would, like, see how I ate and what I did would break my chops about it. They'd make fun of me. They'd be like, oh, he doesn't want to have this guy. Oh, yeah, he's probably going to have a fucking, you know,
celery.
Wow, and, you know. I've never heard that from anyone in my life.
Yeah. Totally.
And by the way, now everybody's like, hey, Mike, what is that? Can you tell me, like, what are you doing? Like, what is, you know, can you give me a plan? Can you give me a nutrition? You know, like, I'm really trying to get in shape. And I'm like, yeah, well, you should have said that 10 years ago, buddy.
But I'll still help you.
Yeah, of course. I'll still help you. I love helping people. I think one of the hardest things for people that are trying to get into wellness struggle with is misery loves company. You know, and it's sad, right? Like, if you're having such a hard time getting out of this place of not treating yourself well by eating poorly and complaining about why you can't get out of the rut, there's only one thing in the world, one person on the planet that is standing in between you and the ability to change your life. And that person is you, motherfucker. You're the motherfucker that's standing in the way. Like, there is no one else. There is no finger to point. There is no person to blame. There is no excuse. You don't feel well. Your leg is hurting. You don't like the taste of that. You know, you need more whatever. Like, you just got to do it, you know? And it's so possible. And anyone can have it. That is nothing, like, yeah, maybe genes have a little bit to do with it, right? Maybe. There's not enough scientific evidence that genes say you can't get into the best shape of your life, right? Like, so when people are, like, you know, struggling, I'm here to say, I hear you, I understand, but buck up. Pull your panties out of a bunch and start taking your shit seriously.
I was really hoping we were going to use panties.
I know. I'm pretty pumped about the panties in a bunch.
It's been a while since we've talked about panties.
to dive into your wellness a little bit because you're intense. I think you wake up before the sun. Sounds like oftentimes you're 95 to 5, at least some portion of the year, eating paleo, doing endurance training. You no longer live your crazy animal lifestyle of your pre-23s, but now is food and fitness your drug? Like, is this what you get high on now?
So all those things that you said are right. When we started, I said, I put fitness and wellness first in my life. It's like my priority. And that's true. Right. But I don't want to sacrifice the other amazing, wonderful things I have in my life, like my wife and my children and my business. And so the only way not to sacrifice that stuff is to do what I really want to do before everybody's awake, so that I can do it at my time, at my leisure, wake up at 5 a.m., you know, get to the gym. When I was going to the gym, now I have a garage gym. So I get in there by 5:30. I train for 2 hours, take my time. I enjoy it. I listen. That's when I listen to my audiobooks or my podcasts or new music without interruption. And so I get my fitness done early in the morning. And I got to say, outside of the moments that I see my children and my wife throughout the day, and then my favorite part of the day at 8:30 at night, when I sit down with my wife at the end of the night, when the kids are down and we're just hanging out, is probably my favorite part of the day. But my second favorite time of the day is in the morning when I'm with myself and my weights. I can't tell you that, when I walk out of the gym, I'm not saying I'm not pumped when I walk in, because I am. I'm always excited to challenge myself, because I love challenging myself. I never want to work out to look the same. And that's because I always try to add weight or add a rep or whatever it is. I'm always challenging myself every time. But I never feel better than when I walk out of the gym. I don't know anyone who I've suggested taking a walk or taking a run or going to the gym or starting that said, man, I got done with that workout and I felt like shit. You know, it's like you do it and you feel amazing and it's a win. It's just a win. And so I put that win, and I used to call it a little win, and now I call it a big win, because that win sets up my whole entire day. No matter what's going on in my life, I don't sacrifice that big win in the beginning of the day, because that gives me the opportunity to smile for the remainder of the day. Like, it's all fucking downhill from there, in a good way. It's like I get some of the hardest things I have to do throughout my day done early in the morning. And then I have an awesome post-workout breakfast meal, because I train fasted every day. I hang with my kids. I take my kids, when we were still in Brooklyn, I walk my son to school at 8:30, and then I get on with my day. Right now I am about a week and a half out from my contest prep for a bodybuilding competition I'm doing in October. And so my nutrition is pretty awesome right now in terms of how many calories I'm eating and how many carbs I'm eating. I eat a lot of carbs, but in a couple of weeks, shit's about to change. And so, I'm doing 3 months of a cut where I'll get down to 2% body fat.
Same.
Totally. Samesies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a goal.
It is what drives me. It is my drug. I love it more than anything. It makes me the man I am, which is just a better person to be around,
Your no excuses mentality is perfect. I'm very much aligned. I'm a morning worker outer. Otherwise my day's totally fucked. I think about it for the rest of the day. It's chaos.
You're sluggish.
It becomes out of my control and I miss it, versus if you go into the day with a workout, you leave with way more energy and you're pumped. I think you have the endorphins, the energy, the hormones that are preparing you for so many different elements of your day, and being able to assess and move versus the drudge of waking up, looking at your phone and moving into the workday, which makes the whole day work.
Well, let's just talk about something real quick that's actually like, you know, science here. So I don't know when the first human being was ever discovered, right? But let's just call it for round numbers a million years ago, right? Maybe. Am I way off? I don't know.
I don't know. It feels
I didn't pay attention in history.
Totally. We'll like, that memory thing.
Yeah. Let's say a million years ago, the first hominid was.
Dropping hominid dust today. We like it.
So let's just say that that was real. Only in the last 100 years have human beings, and probably even less, like sat down for most of the day, right? Like human beings or like, you know, humans in general were meant to, designed to move, designed to use their bodies all day long. And that was essentially the way we all made it through the day until, I don't know, 75 years ago. All of a sudden, we're all questioning why the cancers and the fucking the autoimmune diseases and the obesity and the, and like we're all blaming all the industry and all this shit. It's like, actually, the world stopped moving. You know, like we all stopped moving. We move about a 25th of what we're supposed to, what we were designed to do. And so like the hour and a half I train every day probably doesn't make up what my body was supposed to do on a day, daily basis, supposed to probably move 8 to 10 hours a day, like in the fields, like, you know, moving rocks and shit. But like, I believe that if you don't move, you die.
Slowly.
And like, you know, it's sad that that's something that, that like is not said out loud ever.
For sure.
Like the world stopped moving, people. We sit down, like I'm sitting down right now. I'm at a desk. I'm sitting down. I've been sitting down here on my computer since 9:30 this morning. It's now 1:45, right? Like this shit isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be like out, like getting vitamin D3, you know?
For sure.
Like every human on the planet outside of people that do work outside are D3 deficient. And, you know, that's like a vital vitamin that we need to survive. And we're all lacking it.
For sure. We love telling our friends, like the simplest of things, like get the fuck up and move around, right? Especially right now. Yeah. Lauren and I talk about this every day, literally, because my body kills from sitting inside, like hashtag quarantine. We didn't even think about it. It's like you get up and get a water, you go walk to lunch, like just sitting in the way that we're doing right now is not working. So I have changed up my entire like approach to fitness right now. I'm doing these like 10, 15 minute intervals almost, not like interval training, but like in the morning, I'll do Peloton for 30 minutes, maybe 20, depends on the day. Then an hour later, I like have a jump rope next to my computer. I start jumping rope. Then like 2 hours later, I'm doing like 10 minute arms from Sculpt Society. And like, it sounds weird, but the stagnant nature of me sitting and staring down at my computer, getting lines down my neck, which we can talk about in another episode, it doesn't feel right for my body. And I think it's wild for these last few months what the kind of get up and move mentality has done for me. So we're aligned.
Trying to implement
more. I believe with all my heart that the 10,000 steps a day thing is like, if you're able to put in 10,000 steps a day, you're just good.
Totally. It's
like, you're just good. You know, like that's real. I believe that. I don't think that you need to run. I don't think that you need to like do anything that, you know, I just know that if you put in 10,000 steps a day, consistently eat well, you're going to be good. If you want to focus on aesthetics, if you're a goal-oriented person like myself, you know, you constantly enjoy challenge. I think that strength training is by far and away the most beneficial long-term aesthetic, you know, like accomplishing thing you can do. I think it's the safest. I mean, I'm an endurance. I mean, for years I was an endurance athlete, competed in Muay Thai kickboxing, marathon running. I got injured with all of those things constantly, constantly fucking nursing injuries. Strength training makes me feel the best, makes me look the best. And I feel like I could do it forever. I feel like I could, I'm going to do it forever.
Right. Michael, you got to do you. Yeah. It's about what feels good.
Hey. Yeah.
If you found your thing. Mm-hmm.
So let's take it. So you sound like you're perfect, which is great. We're really happy for you, right? Like you're, like family, you like how you look, you like how you feel. All those things are great. But we also know that you're a big believer in failure, which we don't talk about as much as all of your perfect qualities today. Chuck, you are a badass, but tell us, fail often, fail fast, learn from your mistakes. Like, I'm all about this too. But tell our friends why you think failing is so important.
I think failure is probably outside of, well, it's still you, right? So like I always say, like your biggest problem is between your two ears. I think failure is probably the largest hurdle in most people's path in terms of like fear working. You know, like fear can either, you can like live in fear, which is fear working, or you can live with fear, which is what we all like, which is what I do, right? I live with fear. It's real, shit comes up and I accept it, I embrace it, and then I just like plow. And so I think the plow part is the best part, because if you're not plowing and you're just sort of halting at that sort of that line in the sand where it's like, I'm scared, I'm not gonna be able to do this, then you never, ever, ever live to your potential. And so I always encourage the people around me, my kids, my wife, the people that work with me at the restaurants, to push, to just push. Because if you're not pushing, you're not learning. And if you're not learning, you're dying, right? Like that's just the way I look at it. If you're not constantly moving, you are dying. And that doesn't mean not being present, because present is very important, but you can be present and take action at the same time. I've have failed so many times. I mean, I spent 10 years failing at life, right? Like 10 straight years of constantly banging my head against the wall. And since I've started businesses, I've definitely failed. I've failed in partnerships and not being able to see the other side of the street. And even though like my main priority is to make other people happy, like when it comes down to like big time decisions and I'm, you know, at the helm of a company and somebody doesn't agree with me, I have a hard time with that. And so I have failed in those arenas, you know, where I've just sort of like gotten into altercations that have built up, and then ultimately a partnership fail. And so I've learned so much from that. I don't know if it would have, I don't know if I'd be where I am today had I not, had two partnership breakups. So I just believe that failure is where we learn. You know, I like to say, like, you got to learn to love the hard and the hurt, because without learning the hard and loving the hard and the hurt, you know, you sort of like you recoil every time it comes. As opposed to if you love it, you can actually strive for the hard and the hurt. And that's what separates the girls from the women and the men from the boys. You know, it's like you just got to get through that barrier and then get your ass kicked and learn, you know. I mean, a failure also in fitness. I mean, I spent 10 years literally getting my face beat in, you know, in Muay Thai kickboxing. And every single day I walked into the gym was like a learning experience and a failure, because I was training with guys that were much better than me, even though I was told not to. I'd still like get in there and want to do it. And I get, you know, I don't know, I broke my nose 9 times, you know.
It looks great. Your nose looks great. I was like, I can't see really well from far away, but I can, your nose looks great.
My nose looks decent. Totally.
Does that make sense though? Does that,
yeah,
does that,
for
that,
sure.
Well, you know? It feels like what you're saying is that it is not to be avoided. It's part of the process and the most important part of the process. Nobody's going to go seek failure. Nobody's like, can't wait to make a shitty decision. It's going to feel so good. But being able to be in the moment and say, wasn't right. I have the confidence to move on. I know I'm doing this right within my gut, or I've learned from it and I'm going to do better next time. It has to be a part of the process. Otherwise, you're almost like working in superficial terms. Unless you've been able to be hurt, work hard, and have everything still not work out.
If you think about like a boxing match and somebody gets knocked out, you know, what do you think the first thing that person's coach says when they get into the locker room? Let's look at the tape. Let's see what you did wrong. Let's try to learn from what happened. When somebody knocks somebody out, I guarantee you the first thing that coach says to that person that just knocked the dude out or the woman out is not, let's look at the tape. It's like, fuck yeah, yeah, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? 100%. You're not learning much.
100%.
It's just like, go do what you did again, you know? So it's like, that's the way I sort of see it. You know, I think a lot about sports when I talk about this stuff, because, you know, like there's, it's sports, people tend to understand the way that the sports sort of analogies work, right? Like Cleveland Browns, consistently one of the worst football teams of all time, right? If you think for a second that every single time they walk out on the field, they're not there to win, you're wrong. Every single conversation before they walk out onto the field in the locker room is a winning conversation. It's not, we're going to lose today.
Yeah.
So you might as well just not catch the ball.
Totally.
You know, it's like, we're going to go out there and we're going to fucking win. And so I, you know, like I think a lot about that stuff when I'm like leading a team of people. You know, it's not about like looking for the loss. It's going out there and giving it every single thing you've got. Someone said something to me recently on my podcast that was just like the best piece of advice I was ever given. And
bring it on.
And I said to her, I try to ask for a piece of advice on every show. And her name is Emily Abadi. She's awesome. She's also got a great podcast. And she said, all it takes is all you've got. And I was like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's rad. All it takes is
we're going to use her quote as your quote.
Yeah, we're going to say, I was going to say, I think that's pretty amazing. No, and honestly, I think your energy and your perspective is, it's just real. And I think like we all need a little bit more of that, right? Like it's nice to hear you own your successes, but to own the failures in your same breath. And it sounds like you acknowledge too that you're a work in progress, which is something that I always say to myself. So we're grateful that you came into our lives, and we're excited for our friends to hear more of your magic and wisdom. And I think it's just the beginning for all of us. What do you think, babe?
I think this is a beautiful friendship. I'm inspired, and I can't wait to watch you cut for the next 2 months because,
totally.
Dude, can't even imagine.
And yeah, like 2% body fat for us too, for sure. Goals. I'm hungry. Can we go eat lunch? Well, we appreciate you. We can't wait to do this again soon, and keep us posted on the cut.
Absolutely. This was so much fun.
Awesome.
It really was. I really enjoyed it.
You're awesome. The man.
Friends, enjoy. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Friends, this has been fun. Thanks for spending some quality time with us. If you need more of us in your life, we totally get it. Follow us on Instagram at Wellbehave Podcast.
Also, we aren't selfish. Tell us what you need and want to learn more about by sending us a note at wellbehavepodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs. We prefer that anyway. Until next time, stay well and somewhat behaved.